If you have ever been harshly judged, if you have ever been unfairly criticized, if your motives have ever been questioned, this message today is the Word of God for you.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, it sounds like this is a message for everyone today.
Well, except for the people who've never been criticized in their lives. But I don't know who these people are. Have you ever met someone like that?
Yeah, I have not.
So, and that would include the Apostle Paul, because he, I mean, what a marvelous leader Paul must have been. Mm-hmm. From everything we know about him, we're going to look in the scriptures today at the degree to which he was hurtfully criticized. Some of the things that people said about him are absolutely astonishing. We're going to pick them out of the Bible today. So here is a good man, a faithful, godly, prayerful leader. And he really suffers through the unkind words of fellow Christian believers. That's what makes it so painful.
Yeah.
And every Christian knows what it is to suffer in some way, in some degree, with regards to these things. And then the question is, now, how are we going to respond to that? Mm. How are we going to make sure we don't become embittered by cruel things that are said? Handling criticism. The Bible's a wonderful book. It speaks to the real issues of life, and that's what we're looking at today.
Well, and I'm glad we are. And as you said, I think this is a message that so many of us are going to just identify with and be helped by. So join us in 2 Corinthians 5 as we begin Known to God. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, our series is called Don't Lose Heart, and we have already found reason for encouragement. First, in the great future that lies ahead of every Christian believer, as life in the tent becomes harder, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ shines brighter. And then we don't lose heart, second, because as life here gets harder, we have unique opportunities to honor Christ and to walk with him by faith in anticipation of the great day when we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There are opportunities to honor Christ now in this life that we will not have in the presence of the Lord Jesus, where sickness and sin and all of the many pressures of life in the body are gone, and we are in an entirely new and very, very wonderful situation. Therefore, to seize all the opportunities that arise precisely because of the difficulties of this life is something that is given to us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, today we're going to look at another pressure that causes many to lose heart. And I want to begin the message today with the application, because that way we will, as we go through, be able to connect what is being said from the scripture to the immediate and practical circumstances of our own lives. So I want to speak today to all of the parents who endure the pain of a son or a daughter who has nothing good to say about you. You have done your best to love your children, to provide for them, but for some reason a son or a daughter has turned against you, set themselves against you, and nothing you do or say ever is right. There's an antagonism, even a hostility. I want to speak to all the people today who have been loyal to a difficult task, or loyal to a difficult spouse, or loyal to a difficult friend. And you have been taken for granted. You have been presumed upon. The good you have done has not been recognized, and the sacrifices you have made seem to count for nothing. Sometimes you feel that you have been treated with contempt. I want to speak to the person today who feels that you live under the constant pressure of unrealistic expectations. You are held to an impossible standard, and nothing you do is ever good enough. Some folks experience that in employment. Others experience it in family circles. Perhaps you feel that you live under the shadow of another person, and nothing you ever do can ever quite match up to the imposition of that shadow that remains over your life. And so the weight of criticism, critique that is spoken, and even more the stuff that is not spoken, that's just in, you know, the role of the eyes and the body language and all of that, all of this critique that you feel you live under becomes crushing to you over time, and you know what it is to lose heart. So to gather this little piece together, if you have ever been harshly judged, If you have ever been unfairly criticized, if your motives have ever been questioned, this message today is the word of God for you. Now, do I have an audience for this message today? I want us to be able to connect how the word of God speaks to hundreds of situations in real life where there is genuine hurt and the difficulty that comes with it that so easily can cause us to lose heart. Now, 2 Corinthians is the most personal of all of the letters of Paul. He speaks here more about himself, opens his heart more here than in any other letter, and clearly he is uncomfortable about doing so. Why did he then do this? Well, to understand the story behind 2 Corinthians, you need to know simply two things. The first is that Paul loved these believers at Corinth very deeply. He really loved these people. Acts 18, you can check it out later, gives us the backstory of how Paul came to Corinth and gave himself to a ministry of pioneer evangelism and discipleship and church planting. It was not easy. There was lots of hostility. He was thrown out of the synagogue. He set up a kind of house church in the home of a man by the name of Titius Justus. And he stayed there and gave himself to this ministry for 18 months, a year and a half, a long time, given the itinerant nature of the work of the Apostle Paul. And Acts 18, verse 11 specifically tells us that he stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, and he taught the word of God. So the bonds that developed between Paul and these particular believers, with whom he served for an extended period of time, these bonds ran very deep. And I want just to give you four scriptures to kind of emphasize that and seal it in our minds. We'll go through them very quickly. So if you're taking notes, just take down the reference. You may not have time to write out all of the words. You can check it out later. But I do want you to see that he risked his life to bring the gospel to them. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 14, we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. And read Acts 18, you'll realize how hostile it was, the risk that Paul took proclaiming the gospel there. It was not easy. No one else had done it. But Paul was prepared to extend himself to take the gospel there. As a result of him being the first there, he had therefore personally, as an evangelist and as a church planter, personally led many of these people to the Lord. He'd actually led them to the Lord. And that's why he says in 1 Corinthians 4:15, I became your father in Jesus Christ through the gospel. What he means is, although there are plenty of other people who arrived in Corinth later and were teachers and group leaders and all the rest of it, no doubt, but he says, I was the one who led many of you to Christ, sharing the gospel as an evangelist and as a church planter. Third, he extended himself for these people in tireless effort. I love 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, which, by the way, is a great motto for anyone who really wants to give themselves in ministry. I would most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Do you see the love in that? He says to these people, I'd be glad just to spend myself and just to be spent, for my life to be spent for the good of your souls. That's what he says in relation to these people at Corinth. He loved them, he had sought their good, and he knew what it was, therefore, to weep over them. When they came to a difficult situation, he wrote 2 Corinthians 2:4, out of much affliction and anguish of heart and many tears, I did this not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. So just these four snapshots to settle this in our minds, could give many more. Paul really loved these people.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Known to God, part of a larger series, Don't Lose Heart. Well, in just a moment, we'll continue our message and we'll see how some believers had become critical of the Apostle Paul. But while I have just a moment, I want to let you know that Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. we're able to be on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book Pastor Colin has picked out. It's written by Phil Ryken, and it's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. To give online or to find out more, visit our website, openthebible.org, or call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. If you joined us late, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Some of these believers at Corinth had become very critical of Paul. Now, some for sure had made too much of him. And it's interesting that that may have been one of the reasons why others went the other way. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12 that some actually said, I follow Paul. Well, Paul hated that. And he responded to that in 1 Corinthians 1:13 by saying, well, was Paul crucified for you? I mean, why would you follow Paul? What is Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 3:5, only a servant through whom you believed. So there were certainly some people who made too much of Paul, and very clearly, and perhaps it was related, there were others who clearly went the other way. So that by 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, you have Paul speaking about how he is a servant of God, but then he makes reference to being judged by you. So quite early on, it seems that there were people who were becoming very critical about Paul, were setting themselves against him, and were making unkind judgments about him. So here are people to whom he has brought the gospel. Many of them he's actually led to the Lord. He's very happy to spend himself and be spent for the good of their souls, but they're making judgments about him, many of them, and their judgments are not kind. Whatever Paul did, there were some people in Corinth who thought the worst about him. Now, let me give to you, just to seal this in your mind, a catalogue of the criticism that Paul was facing from at least some of these Christians that he had loved and that he had served. I picked just 5 examples. I could have picked a number of others, but these will do for this morning. Number 1, people said about him, he's unreliable. I picked that up from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, where Paul is explaining a change in his travel plans, going through Macedonia, and he was going to come to Corinth, but then in the end he did not. It's a very simple thing. He changed his travel plans. But you know what it's like, that when someone really sets themselves against you, almost anything, however small, becomes something that gets seized on and gets twisted in some way in a harsh judgment. And so it seems quite clear then from verse 17 where he says, was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Clearly some people were accusing him of that. Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? No, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. So very simply here, Paul makes a change of travel plans. He had intended at one point to come to Corinth. Then there's a change of plans, and he's not able to do that or chooses not to do that. He actually explains the reasoning for this at the beginning of chapter 2. But the people who've got it in for him seize on that and they say, well, there you are. See, you can't rely on him. He says one thing and he does another. And, you know, the mud gets thrown and some of it sticks. Well, he's unreliable. Second, he's unimpressive. Here's an extraordinary verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. For they say, so here's a specific criticism, they say, his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak. So here's what the critics are saying. You know, you read his letters, and they're weighty and strong. Well, of course, because they're written under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But when Paul's actually there in the room with you, he's not actually that impressive. Very interesting, isn't it, that that was said. I don't know what your mental picture of the Apostle Paul is. But evidently, he was not the kind of big personality who immediately sucked the air out of the room, so to speak. And that actually fits, if you remember what he says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. He says, when I was with you, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. So this is not some super confident mega personality. He just wasn't like that. And because there seems to have been, along with his relentless passion for gospel advance and his amazing courage against all odds, there does seem to have been, after his conversion, something within him that reflected a feeling of his own need, and the critics seize on this, and they turn it back against him. Well, he's not very impressive. Third, he's ineffective. Again, same verse. They say his bodily presence is weak and his speech is of no account. Can you imagine that that was said about the Apostle Paul? He's not a very good speaker, they said. Now, of course, the background here is that rhetoric was an art form, especially among the Greeks in the early world. People would go, they didn't have television, don't have Netflix, so what are you going to do for an evening's entertainment? Well, they would go out and they would hear one of these great rhetoricians speaking to a crowd and putting on a marvelous performance. And this was great entertainment. And people would talk about which was the best rhetorician and so forth and so on. Now, Paul quite clearly didn't do that. He spoke plainly. Acts 18:11, he taught the word of God. He specifically says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, I did not come to you proclaiming the testimony about God with lofty speech. I didn't do that. I wasn't trying to be a rhetorician. His speaking was an open statement of the truth. That's his own description of his speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. An open statement of the truth. But you see, the fault finders picked up on this, and so you can see how this goes. Well, you know, he's not a big personality, and he's speaking. I mean, these rhetoricians, they can tell stories of people laughing in the aisles. They're just moving the whole crowd. And when Paul comes, all he does is he teaches the Bible. He's not really that impressive, is he? His speech is of no account. Number four, I'm just listing out some of the critique that was coming on Paul from people he had loved and served. He's proud. I'm back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12, where we're going to remain. He says, we are not commending ourselves to you again. Now, if you want to do a word search in the Corinthian letters, you'll find this whole business of commending keeps coming up. And it does seem that the critics accused Paul of making too much of himself. The truth, of course, was that other people were making too much about Paul. It was not Paul who was doing that, but what they did placed him in a difficult position. He felt that he had to say something in response to all this criticism that was being thrown out so that good people would know how to answer this criticism. That's what he refers to in verse 12. But on the other hand, he knew that anything he said would be taken and it would be twisted and it would be used against him, whatever he said, by those who had set themselves against him. And then fifthly, the last of these five, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. Do you notice how it says here, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Now, he would only have said that given that others in Corinth were saying, you know what? I think there's actually something wrong with the Apostle Paul. There's something wrong with him, you know? Out of his mind. Can you imagine they were actually saying that about the Apostle Paul? There's something wrong with him. So the fault finders have run up a catalogue of criticism that can be clearly discerned from this letter. He's unreliable, he's unimpressive, he's ineffective, he's proud, and he's probably out of his mind. And Paul, remember, feels like a father towards these very people. They are his children, but they have turned out to be difficult children. Most of them are ungrateful. Many of them are unkind, and some of them are downright cruel. Now, that's the scene. And I want now to ask two questions. The first is, how in the world did this happen? How can that happen in a church? I want to avoid that at all costs. And I therefore want to give a warning against the sin of slander. And then the second question, very obviously, is how did Paul respond? And he responded wonderfully. And I want therefore to give an encouragement to grace under fire. So keep in mind those things that come by way of critique so that we can land the application into the realities of our own lives and our own situations. First then, how did this happen? A warning against the sin of slander. Very simply, a powerful force had laid hold of the hearts and minds of many of these people. Paul refers in 2 Corinthians 11:5, he refers to some who are labeled super apostles. And without going into that, it's a whole other story. Evidently, there were some people who came into Corinth and they were full of themselves and they were full of confidence. And they basically, by their influence, steadily turned these folks who Paul had led to the Lord and nourished through his ministry. They turned these folks gradually and increasingly against the Apostle Paul. And without going into all of that story, I just want to make one observation from it, that people who have a critical spirit usually pick it up from others.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and part of a message entitled, Known to God. Unfortunately, we do have to pause right here, but we'll continue this message next time. Our message is from a larger series entitled Don't Lose Heart, where we're taking a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. That's a great way to listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. One other way to listen is to get the entire series Don't Lose Heart on CD. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We can't do what we do without your generosity, so thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what is something that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the first thing is probably the subtitle, which I think is full of hope. How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. I think that's marvelous. And there's a profound truth here that when we endure dark experiences of doubt, that God can actually work in and through these to bring us to a stronger faith. And so perhaps someone listening right now is thinking, oh, I think I'm maybe like Judas who betrayed Jesus. Well, think about Peter, who also denied his faith, but then was wonderfully restored and became a pillar of the church. So you need to know that your doubts may be the very thing that God will use to strengthen your faith. And this book, I think, very practically will help you to deal with your doubts. It'll equip you to walk through the struggle and to see how God can work redemptively for your good and for His glory.
Well, we want to say thank you for your financial gift in supporting Open the Bible this month by sending you a copy of this book. Again, it's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
A single conversation can change your life, and that happened to me at a conference many years ago. Over lunch, I sat next to a pioneer missionary. He told me the story of how he'd made contact with an unreached tribal group in northern Thailand, how the tribal chief had invited him to make his home there, how he built his own home, and then learned the tribal language and began to serve these people. It was jaw-dropping stuff. At one point in the conversation, I asked him, "Where do you begin in explaining the gospel to people who don't even know who God is?" And he said, "We tell them the Bible story." Now, I'm convinced that we need to learn from the approach of pioneer missionaries in reaching lost people today. And that's why I wrote Fly Through the Bible. Fly Through the Bible is short, simple, and shareable. It's a place where someone in your life can begin. So who is there in your life who needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.